I was studying this week, and we're on the inspection gate, and we only have a few more gates left. And on it, it brought me back to many years ago, back in the 70s. That's a good ways back, but I remember my pastor that I grew up under ministered something that I remember the name of it, and it always stuck with me. And this week, as I was studying the inspection gate, it has to do with when David used to stand above one of the gates, and it was called the inspection gate. And when the troops would come back from battle, David would stand there, and he had a great fondness for his warriors because he was a warrior. And he would reward them according to what they had done. And he inspected them, and he would give out rewards and also rebukes, and he would inspect the troops. One time, Napoleon Bonaparte there was a young man in the cavalry, and he had ran away, and they brought him to him, and he was about to put judgment upon him, and he asked, "What's your name?" And the young man said, "My name is Napoleon also." And Napoleon, is recorded, said, "Either change your name or change your character." And so what happens is there is an inspect. How many know God inspects things? You ever had God inspect you? You ever had God come and began to inspect your life? You know, one of the adages of being a supervisor is they do what you inspect, not what you expect. And so one thing that God does, God is an inspector. God comes and inspects. And I was reading the book of Jeremiah, and it brought me back many years ago to the 70s to a phrase that my pastor taught me when I was growing up. And I worked a sermon off of it. I want to talk to you about it this morning. In the book of Jeremiah, let's just read it, and then I'll explain it. "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." Now watch this. He's saying, can I talk to you about something? I want to talk to you about how you're judging people. "Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? You've planted them and they've taken root. They grow. They bring forth fruit. You're near to their mouth and far from their reins. But you, Lord, knowest me. You have seen me. You've tried my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter." He had a good attitude here, didn't he? "Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. Prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn? The herbs of every field wither, and the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed. The birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end." And here comes God. And in verse 5, God responds to what Jeremiah said. And God is inspecting his life. And listen to what he says. "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace where you trust they wearied thee, how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan?" And this morning I want to talk to you about the footmen and the horsemen. Everybody say that with me. The footmen and the horsemen. Father, this morning I ask you, open our eyes, our hearts, teach us, Lord. We pray that you'll encourage us for this week. We love you with everything within us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Hey, turn around and give somebody a good high five one more time this morning before you sit down. And you can be seated. The events that we just read took place about 600 B.C., There had been three world powers vying for dominance, and that was Assyria, Egypt, and Babylon. And 600 B.C., Babylon now is a world power. And Babylon is to the north of Israel, and they're coming down. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He wrote the book of Lamentations. When you read, you can imagine anybody that would write a book called Lamentations has to be known as a weeping prophet. In fact, he realized Israel was going in a direction and had no power to turn them around. It broke his heart. He knew things were out of control. Nothing he did seemed to help. In fact, he tried and tried and tried. And in the book of Jeremiah, in fact, look at Jeremiah 11. The men in Jeremiah's own town was plotting to kill him. How many know when your own guys from your own hometown want to kill you, you're not doing the best. Look at this in Jeremiah 11. "Therefore, thus says the Lord of the men of Anathoth, they that seek that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anatoth, even the year of their visitation. Here is Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is saying, you know, God, the men of my own hometown, they're trying to kill me. Lord, I'm your prophet. I'm doing what you told me to do. And it seems like I'm the one that's got it bad. All the bad people are prospering. They're doing great. Everything is turning out fantastic for them. And here I am. I'm your prophet. I'm saying what you told me to say. And I'm the one that's running for my life. And what was really amazing was when Jeremiah was prophesying, he was saying, he prophesied this, the Lord says this, yea, thus saith the Lord, you have been, he has planted you, but he's going to uproot you. And God planted you. He's going to pluck you out one day. He was really being tough. And what happens is they sent a death note to him. And what happened was the Lord told him, tell them that Babylon is going to dominate them. Tell them Babylon is going to destroy the nation of Israel, carry them off as captives, and they're all going to be captives in the land of Babylon. Well, that's not a very patriotic, you know, word to give out to the country. And when he preached it, the Bible says all the men of Anatoth got upset with him, and they were trying to kill him. And in Jeremiah chapter 12, he begins to pray. In verse 1, and this is what he says, Lord, I'm your prophet. Lord, you're righteous. I know you're righteous, but yet can I talk to you about how you're doing things? Have you ever wanted to talk to God about how he was doing things? Lord, I know you're righteous, but can I talk to you about how you're doing things? He says, you're righteous when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are all they that deal treacherously very happy? And you said, now, one of the funny things was, as I said, when he was prophesying, he told them, God's going to pluck you up. And listen to what he says. You have planted them, and instead of plucking them up, they've taken root. They grow, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, but you're far from their reins or from their hearts, as it says. Now, in Jeremiah 11, this is why he said it, because he says, the Lord of hosts that planted thee has pronounced evil against you for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against. And he says, God's planted you, but he's going to bring evil against you. Now, he's going to pluck you up. He's planted you. But when he gets along with God, he said, God, you told me to tell them that you're going to pluck them up, and you didn't. It seems like they've taken root, and they're growing better every day. And so Jeremiah says, can I talk to you about how you're doing things in your life? And he changed his tune. But you know what I like? Look at Psalm 73. We'll skip over that. Look at Psalm 73. I want to read this whole thing, and I want you to get this because this will help you. If you've ever been upset at God, if you've ever been upset at how God does things, I want you to read Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there no knowledge, or is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed. Now, listen to what he says. This writer says, when I looked at everything and summed it all up, he said, you know what? I began to feel like that I had cleansed my heart in vain. That is, the wicked were seemed like they were doing great. And here I am over here. I'm your person, God. I'm doing what you want me to do. But Lord, it seems like I've washed my hands, my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long, I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I'll speak thus, behold, I should offend against a generation of thy children. He said, if I were to really say what I'm feeling, if I were to really say what I'm feeling down inside, I would offend the children of this generation. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then understood I their end. Surely you did set them in slippery places, and thou canst down them in destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one walketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, thinking like that, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holding me by thy hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou shalt have destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near. Everybody say that. For it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. You know, there are seasons when we get so messed up in our brain, we don't see the whole picture. We judge the entire thing after a snapshot of something going on in someone else's life. And the writer of Psalm 73 says, I almost slipped. I almost got so envious of all these that weren't living for you. And here I was cleansing my heart and washing my hands. And it seemed like it did me no good that those that did not were doing better than me. But let me tell you something. God has a time clock. His time clock is not yours and it's not mine. He does what he does when he's ready to do what he does. And really, I've learned this about judgment. You either get it now or you get it later. There is a time clock with God. God continues. You may be doing well and think everything is doing great. But listen what Peter wrote in 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. You know what God says? There are people that are saying, where is this coming? You said Jesus is coming forever. And I don't, and you know, you've said that and your father said that and your grandfather said it and his father said it. And the Bible says, listen, God's time clock is not our time clock. When he's ready to come, he will come. When he's prepared, he will come. If he's not ready, he's not coming. And that's not only on the big scale, that's in your life and my life. Our timetable is not God. How many would have liked to have had a BB gun when you were 4 years old? Give me a shotgun when I'm 4 years old. How many know it's not you're not ready for a shotgun when you're 4 years old? I remember when, I forgot how old Ben was. He was just a little bitty fellow. I drove up. I found him a dirt bike. I mean, a dirt bike, a Yamaha 80 or something. I forgot what it was. Huh? He was 11. I found out real quickly he was not ready for a dirt bike because I was never able to show him the dirt bike I bought him. Jasmine made me get rid of it before I could ever show it to him. Because her timetable was not my timetable, nor was it Ben's timetable. And God's way is the same thing in your life. God's timetable is not the same. You need to understand that. In fact, look at Luke 13. Jesus says it plainly one time. And he said, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, you know, there had been a group of Galileans that Pilate had killed, had put to death. And the word around town was, man, look at this group. Man, they were bad. They were worse than all of us. Man, the only reason they got whacked like they got whacked was because they're worse than all of us. And today we'd say about a car wreck or this happened to somebody or that happened to that family or this happened. He said, yeah, because they're worse. That's what they all said. And listen to Jesus' theology when he comes on the scene. Jesus answering said to them, do you think that the Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. You know what Jesus said? You're way off base when you think that bad things happen to bad people. Can I get an amen? He said, you're way off base. If you think that's how God's timetable works, if you think that's why things happen, because bad people have bad karma and they end up getting bad things, he said, you think they were worse than all, there wasn't a worse Galilean in all of Galilee, and that's why these died, because they were the worst of the worst. Jesus said, there were plenty others worse than them. He said, but what he didn't reveal was God's timetable. Said, you can't judge things by your own mind and your own seeing. He said, those Galileans were not worse than all the other Galileans. God, you either get it now or you get, he said, you don't get the, if you're bad, you don't change your heart, you're going to get the same thing one day. He said, God's got a timetable. God's working in his own way. He does not work after us. Now, Jeremiah is, he calls attention to this. He says, God, you told me to prophesy that you're going to pluck them up. And instead of doing that, God, it's like they've taken root and they're growing and they're producing fruit and they're so far from you and life is good for them. And he said, but in Jeremiah said, and if you knew what happened to him, they arrested him, threw him in a pit, and he was up to his waist, history tells us, in muck and mire in a pit because he was prophesying that Babylon was going to destroy Israel and Israel ought to go ahead and surrender to Babylon. And he's sitting there about muck up to his waist and he's thinking about this. He says, God, can I talk to you about this picture? Something's not right. You told me to say what I said. I said it. And I'm in prison. I'm in muck up to my waist. And all these other guys are living scrumptiously. They're eating dinner. They're having a great old time. And he says, you told me to tell that. And you told me to tell them you're going to pluck them up. And God, listen, that is bugging him. And he falls into self-pity. And self-pity will never get anything from God. You can weep and wail how bad it is. And you think somehow if I do it bad enough, somehow a tear will fall from heaven and that'll happen. Listen, one thing moves the hand of God and that's faith. One thing moves the hand of God is when you reach out in faith to God. And so Jeremiah is falling into a pity party and he's complaining to God. And Jeremiah 12, Jeremiah is in self-pity. And that is when God comes and God inspects. God comes, he said, let me talk to you. And Jeremiah 12 in verse 5, here's what God says. Jeremiah, let me talk to you about what you're going through right now. If you have run, listen, if you have grown weary, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if you're getting all upset and down in the mouth in the land of peace, what are you going to do at the swelling of the Jordan? If you can't deal with these little home problems, you know, the guys were trying to kill him. If you can't deal with these home problems in the land of peace, what are you going to do when things really get bad? The land's at peace, he said, if you, and he literally he says this, he says, if you have run with the horse, with the footmen, and they have wearied you, what are you going to do when you have to run with the horses? And one of the things is, if you can't deal with the stuff in the land of peace, what are you going to do at this? What the swelling of Jordan? Look at Jeremiah 49. It tells you, behold, he, speaking of the king of Babylon, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of the Jordan against the habitation of the strong. And what he does is this, when Jeremiah is sitting there and God says, if you cannot deal with this stuff in the land of peace, what are you going to do when war breaks out? What are you going to do when your land's invaded? Babylon was known as one of the most fierce armies. They had no mercy. They came in and they literally destroyed you. And God comes to Jeremiah and says, you're breaking up over this. You're in the land of peace and you can't deal with little hometown problems. What are you going to do when the problems really get bad in your life? What are you going to do when the swelling of the Jordan and Babylon comes through? In Joshua chapter 3, it's a story of a young group that's on the move. In Joshua 3, now it's the next generation. You remember all that happened before. that God had brought the first generation out of Egypt, and they'd come right up against the land. And God said, I'm going to bring you to the land. And they said, they sent 12 spies, and 10 of them gave a bad report. 2 gave a good report. And they all believed the bad report, and they all got scared, and they said, we can't do it. Now you're 40 years later. That whole generation, except for those 2, had died off. And now it's a brand new generation, because they come in, they don't send spies. They tell God, we're ready to do what you want us to do. We'll go over the land. We'll accomplish. We're not afraid. We will do what you tell us to do, oh God. And the Bible says that in Joshua chapter 3, look at verse 15. It says, and as they bear the ark were come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose. And they literally came down at the time of the swelling of the Jordan. And instead of being afraid, they went in. Let me tell you something about God. God's looking for some people that's willing to do what he says and stop the complaining against him and stop all the thinking about it and say, God, I'm gonna learn something through whatever I'm going through. I'm gonna learn it. God, come, listen, let me tell you what God's doing. God's trying to instill something in you and in you and in you and in you that when things really get bad, you've got some strength to you and some tinsel to you where you can stand up against the things of this world. If he kept it easy, listen, when they send mama's little fat biscuit eater to boot camp, they don't baby them, they don't feed them, they don't let them get up about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. Guess what they do? Somewhere early, long before daybreak, that guy comes there with a big old swagger stick against the pan. Get out of bed, you worthless bunch of whatever it is. They've already stood in line. They've taken all their long curly hair and all that. They've shaved it off, and it's as bare can be. They took off their designer jeans. They gave them a pair of clothes that they wouldn't have wore. You know, if they'd have died, they wouldn't have worn them when they put them on them. And then they get them in there, and what they do is they teach them. I told you this before. They take mom's little fat biscuit eater and make a lean, mean fighting machine out of him. You've seen our 3 guys that come back from time to time. You ever see a difference in them? They've taken mama's little fat. Well, we'll leave that right there. And you guess what God is doing? God is not looking for little fat biscuit eaters in the kingdom of God. He's looking for some warriors that have been through some stuff. And he comes to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, don't you understand that which you're facing right now, that little hometown problems, you know those home problems you got? Those are the footmen. It won't be long before the horsemen come through. And if the footmen have wearied thee, what are you going to do when the horses come your way? If you're getting all broken up, all upset, all this because of home problems, what are you going to do when you really got to face some real problems in your life? So God says this, I'm doing something on purpose. Even when you think it's wrong, even when you think it's destroying you, everything you encounter is for the purpose of shaping and refining you. Everything is. All things work together for the good. Everybody say that. All things work together for the good. Whatever's happening in your life, God is trying to get you molded and ready for the day when the horsemen come into your life. Because what you're having to face now is strengthening you. What you're having to do now and deal with is just little hometown problems. As much as you may upset about America and the direction it's going, we are still living in a land of peace. Every one of you remember where you were on 9/11. Every one of you remember when you first heard the news when we were under attack. It was a totally different feeling that suddenly the homeland, and at that point we had no idea the scope of what was taking place. Looking back now, we know it confined and all that. But at that moment, the president had to shut down all the airways. Every plane was dead. Every plane heading toward America was turned back. Did you know that? Every airport in America was shut down. Every plane crossing the Atlantic, the Pacific, all the other oceans were turned away. Samuel, Jasmine's father, was on a plane. We had no idea where he was. He was on a plane from Europe heading this way. We had no whether he was alive or dead. We didn't know the scope. We didn't know if it was every city in America was going to blow up. We didn't know if there was nuclear weapons released. We didn't know the scope of it. You remember the feeling we had 9/11? And God comes to Jeremiah and says, Jeremiah, September the 10th. Think about September the 10th. All the problems you thought were big, all the things you were worried about, all the things you were concerned about, all that changed a day later when you're sitting there that morning. All the little problems you had were not as big as they were. All that stuff. And God says, don't you know what I'm doing in your life is preparing you that when the horses come, and listen, it's going to happen in the world. All those that are studying terrorists say it's not a matter of if a nuclear weapon will ever be released in America. He says it's just a matter of when it will happen. You need to know that we're facing without fear, but we're facing some tough times. And you know why God is allowing some things in your life? Do you know why God is not just pampering you and feeding you and letting you sleep in till 10 o'clock every morning and then have some waitress come in there and bring you breakfast on your bed, hand feed you, kind of towel you off? How many know that God, listen, God is getting us ready for the greatest revival the world has ever seen? He's getting us ready to be warriors and princesses in the kingdom of God to do what we can do. And listen, and when the enemy comes in and everybody's heart is failing for fear, there'll be a group of people that's been through the hard times. They'll stand in the midst of it all and say, I know my God is able. I don't care what goes down. Come on, give a good clap offering. We don't care what happens. He's able. You know what happens is he doesn't drop victory in you when you fall over in the grave. You need to know that. What you attain in this, we think somehow we just kind of bumble along in this life. And when we die, we get to heaven and we'll just be just fantastic. We'll just be so big and glorious and he'll change us and we'll be the best of the best of the best of the. Let me tell you, this life is the training for the next life. And what you attain in this life is where you start out in the next life. Where you, what you attain and what you do in this life determines what you do in the next life. We don't all get to heaven in cookie cutter, you know, variety where we're all the same. Somehow we think we fall over in the grave, we wake up, and we're just fantastic. We're just fantastic. What you learn in this life takes you over to the next life. Look what Paul wrote. Look what he said. He got mad at the Corinthian church. And everybody says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You need to get that. For our light affliction. Now, everybody say light. you need to hear this. Our light affliction. Have you ever had anybody telling you all their troubles and you think you ain't heard nothing? Have you ever been there? Our light affliction, which is for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. What did he mean when he said light of, look what Paul says. Here's his light affliction. He said, everybody say light one more time. Light. Our light affliction. Here's what he was talking about. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, even more. In labors more abundant, in stripes, that means the cat of nine tails beat across your back. Pieces of metal, pieces of glass, pieces of iron. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths. Everybody say death. How many of you died and come back to life? Many of you in here? He was stoned one time and killed. They threw his body out of the city, covered him with stones. And the disciples went out there and says, got around him and prayed and took the rocks off and God brought him back to life. Come on, somebody. Got up and walked, I think it was 12 miles to the next city. Of the Jews, five, this is light afflictions, all right? I know many of you got it far worse than Paul ever had it, but this is his light afflictions. Of the Jews, five times I received 40, how many times? But how many times? Five times he received 39 stripes. Five different times in his life, they hitched him to a post. They took that cat of nine and they beat him 39 times. How many know he probably didn't sunbathe out and showing his physique? Of the Jews, five times. Three times I was beaten. Any of you been beaten with rods? How many's ever got a switching? Let's see if you got a switching in your life. That's close. Beaten, you know what they used to do with rods? They put stuff on them to where when you got beaten with them, it left marks all over you. I was beaten with rods 3 times. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers. Anybody ever got robbed? Number of us. Perils of my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I'm not burning? Listen, let me tell you something. He says, these light afflictions. I know you got it worse than him, but he says these are light afflictions. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're complaining about like Jeremiah did. But he said, listen, he said, all these things have happened to me. In chapter 4 is when he comes and he says back, our light affliction, which is for a moment. Go to the next scripture. Our light affliction. Now, when the apostles got beat one time, the Bible says when they got done getting beat, they came out. It says they called the apostles, beating them, commanded them they should not speak in the name of them. Look at verse 41. They departed from the presence of the council doing what? Saying, God, why me? God, why did you let me get beat? God, why did you allow me to go? You know what the Bible says? They went away rejoicing. You know why? Because they knew that all things work together for the good. And they knew God was doing something for them. No wonder they would say, it works for the good. When you begin to allow that, understand that God comes, you say, listen. What you're experiencing is the footman. I'm getting you ready for the horseman that's coming your way. Next time you're facing a problem, it may be a home problem. It may be bad. Jeremiah said, they're trying to kill me back home. And God comes and says, Jeremiah, those are the footmen. The horses are coming. I like what Paul wrote. Paul wrote in, after it was all over, Paul wrote in the book of Philippians, he wrote something that I think Jeremiah understood. Because when Nebuchadnezzar came into the land of Israel, the Bible says, and you read it, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed all the false prophets. He killed them, put them all to death. All the kings and all the princes and all those that were living scumptiously. The Bible says he took them all captive and took them back to the land of Babylon. In chains and irons. When he got into the land, he heard about Jeremiah the prophet. And the Bible says he heard that he was in prison. And the king of Babylon brought him up out of the prison and honored him. Come on, somebody. I can imagine that Jeremiah got along with God and said, God, you remember that prayer I prayed? Would you forget about that? Come on, somebody. I can now see what you were doing in my life. Look what Paul wrote in Philippians. He said, I would you should understand, brethren, that the, everybody say things. Remember all those things that we just read about? The light afflictions he's been through. Listen, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance. Everybody say furtherance. The furtherance of the gospel. The word furtherance is from a Greek word which was used in that day of the woodchoppers. That when the Roman army were on the move, many times the Roman army had much, it was a big military operation. They had a lot of equipment to move. And they needed a wide space. They had some artillery equipment, all the stuff they used in that day. And what they would do is they would send a group known as woodchoppers. They would send them out ahead of them. And these woodchoppers would chop down trees and they'd open up, you know, sometimes the path would get narrow. So these woodchoppers would chop out the trees, clear out the way, clear out the path so that literally the army could move unimpeded. And the word furtherance is that word that was used in that day of woodchoppers that the Roman army sent out before them so that it would not impede the movement of the army. And Paul said, can I tell you something about all those things you're going through? Can I tell you what they really are? They're like woodchoppers chopping out all the stuff before you so that you can keep moving for God. If you didn't have those things, you get slowed down, you get sidetracked. This of this world would catch your eye. That of that world would catch your eye. And what would happen is this. He says, Paul said, I'm going to tell you all the things I've been through. It seems like injustice. It seems like, I thought this was a bed of roses when you became a Christian. Look at what Paul went through. And he says, let me tell you something. Those things are wood choppers in my life. They're clearing a path so I can move with the gospel of God and not get detoured. They're just footmen and the horses are coming. I'm going to tell you something about the world we live in today. We live in dangerous times. They're not telling us everything they know. You see the alerts that go on in America. Let me tell you something. We need to get ready. We need to get the fat off of us. You need to get ready to deal with stuff in your life. And the way you do that is you go through the footman. When you're dealing with little problems, you got a flat tire. I had a day yesterday, which was a footman day. I won't go into it. But at the end of it, I said, this is probably one of the most unproductive days I had in my life. Not that I didn't try. I tried desperately. But one thing led to another, to another, to another, to another. At the end of the day, the Lord spoke to me. He says, these are footmen. Come on, somebody. You just experienced a footman day. And next time you're involved with something, you need to do this. You need to say, you know what? This is just a footman, Lord. I know what it is. This light affliction I'm going through, it might be money problem. It may be a financial or emotional. It may be whatever. But you know what? You know what the good thing about it is? Even when you fail, you win. Even when you fail, all things can still work together for the good. In John chapter 6, he failed, but he learned. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company, and he came unto him, and he said, now, the reason he went to Philip was, this is Philip's home territory. This is where Philip was from. And the reason he asked Philip about this instead of Peter or John or James, because this is from his hometown. And he's going to deal with a home problem. So many of us, the Lord comes and he says, I'm going to deal with you about your little home problems, your own. He said, Philip, Philip, since you're from here and this is your hometown, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to what? This is called an inspection. He's about to inspect his faith. You ever had God come and inspect your faith? What's he going to do about this little home problem? What are you going to do about this little home problem? See, because it's the people closest to you that can hurt you the worst and trouble you the most. And it's the ones right around you at work and you're close to that can try you the most. You're normally not tried by the person over in Asia. They're not trying you. They're not upsetting you. It's usually the person right close to you that's snoring in the bed right beside you, that's eating your food, burning up your electricity. You come home and the air conditioner's on 68 degrees, been there for 3 days with nobody else in the house, and dealing with your, it's usually those little home problems you're dealing with. And this he said to prove him, because I love this phrase. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. When my kids were little, and I called them and I asked them a question, it wasn't most of the time I was trying to find out information. Is that right? Jasmine showed me a picture yesterday. It was a dog and all you see was his eyes. He's behind a sofa. All you saw was his eyes, and the little caption said, the poo-poo was already here before I got here. But when I used to ask my kids questions, it wasn't because I wanted information. I was testing them. I was proving them. And here it is, a little hometown problem, and Jesus comes to Philip and says, it's still with a home problem. It's easy to love those far away. It's harder to love those right up close. Let me deal with your love. Let me test you. Let me see what. And he said, this he did to test him because he already knew. And Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not enough, and that everyone then may take a little bit. He just failed the test because he'd been with the Lord numerous times. The Lord had fed thousands and thousands. But when it got to be his home situation, he failed the test. Even though he failed the test, he passed. Because even the bad things work together for the good. And he learned, and later on he would talk, and you would read him later on things that he did, because he would bring others to Jesus. And so when you begin to understand that, that even when you fail, you learn. That's why it says in James 1, count it all joy. Brethren, everybody say, count it all joy. When you fall into divers, that means various temptations and trials in these. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. There are things, listen, even when you flunk, you pass. Even when you fail the test, you learn from it. Even when you fall on your face, you get back up and say, well, that was surely wasn't the way to do it. Let's try, let's see what else is another way. And God will work in you. Everybody say amen this morning. Give him a good clap offering. Stand to your feet. The Lord is doing something in your lives, and I just felt from the Lord. Come on up, team, real quick. I just felt in your lives that the Lord is doing something in you. Close your eyes. Maybe you're having home problems. Maybe there's something at work close by. You know, it's everything around you that God comes and says, listen, you need to know what you're dealing with is the footman. If you are cracking up in the land of peace, what are you going to do when the war comes? What are you going to do when real things happen? God says, I am doing you a favor. I am doing you good. I am for you. We're going to do that song, Those That Trust in the Lord. Let's do that one. And there is a time when you're going through something in your life that you need to know that is God working things out, putting in you something that will make you make it. Putting something in you that will establish you and strengthen you, because he's a good God and he loves you far more. But there is a need in our lives to get the fatness off of us and get the brittleness and be able to be strong in the Lord. And this way is just trust in him. You look back and you do like Jeremiah. You're going to look back one day and say, Lord, forget that prayer I prayed. I see your judgments. I understand what you're doing. You really are, Lord. I understand it now. There begins to come a time. Let me have this other mic, would you? There comes a time when you just know the Lord is doing something deep in your heart. And he comes and listen, some of you have gone through some tough times in your family, tough times in your business, tough times working in relationships, in your neighborhood, among friends. And that's where it's at. And that's what Jeremiah was so upset about. Oh God, why is this happening? Why, Lord, have I washed my hands in innocence and cleanse my heart, and it seems like in vain? But God comes and he says, listen, don't be like a brute beast. Understand, you just got a little snapshot. There are things I'm doing in you. The Apostle Paul said, don't you know that those light afflictions that you're going through is working for you an eternal weight of glory? There is something on the other side. Paul got on the Corinthians church one time because they were taking people to court. And he said, why don't you bring things within the church and judge them? Because one day you're going to be judging angels, not in sort of a courtroom situation, but ruling over them. And he said, won't you learn some things now on this side? Because when you fall in the grave, what you learned on this side will be taken to the other side. Everybody isn't put on the same par in heaven. The Bible says there'll be different levels of rewards, different levels of responsibility, depending on what you've grown and learned. And if all you're counting is in this life, if all you're thinking is how much you get in this life and how you prosper in this life and what you do in this life, then you've lost the whole purpose of what the Lord is doing. Because there is an age to come when God's going to use you. There's an age to come when God will take you. You've got to learn some things. You've got to learn on this side. You know, one of the things I love is about learning how to live now so that later on you can live like nobody else. You got to learn that we're not living like the world, but God is doing something in your life that you need to know, that even in this life, if we had only hope, we'd be of most men miserable. But we don't have hope only in this life. There is a sweet by and by. There is a day coming when God will right every wrong, when God will, his time clock will expire, and he will deal with every sin, he will deal with every evil. And everyone that's done whatever, every word, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess, every right will be rewarded, every wrong will be punished. But don't get all upset and get all up like Jeremiah did, like the writer in Psalm 73, and almost lose out with God, thinking, oh God, why don't you do it now? Oh God, won't you hurry up? Oh God, why? Jesus comes on the scenes. You think the Galileans were worse than all the rest of them? No, 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 no. You don't know God's time clock. The day will come when God will deal with every wrong. God will deal with every person. But he said it may not be your time schedule, but don't you get all confused and upset about that. You just let God do in your life what he wants to do in your life. And when you deal with those problems, you need to start thinking this every day of your week. You say, hey, these are just a footman, God. This is home problem. This is a footman. I know that the horses are coming. I know this is a land of peace and the swelling of the Jordan. The battle, the war is heading our way at some point. And God, do in me what you want to do. I want to go through it. I want to have an eternal weight of glory. I want to walk through these things and get strong in you. Even if it's heartbreak, even if it's things, Father, our trust is in you this morning. Say our trust is in you this morning. Come on, team. Lead us in that. Come on. Everybody say amen, would you? Give them a good clap offering. This week, I want you to count it all joy. I want you, when you're going through it, say, hey, Lord, I know what this is. This is footman. This is footman. You're getting me ready for the horseman that's coming. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it to the end. I'm not going to give in to self-pity. I'm not going to give in to confusion. I'm not going to give in to the worldly view. Bow your heads one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless His people this week for the anointing, Lord, to see not only the acts of God, but the ways of God. I pray this morning that you would begin to see how God moves and what He does. And you'd stop just judging things with the seeing of the eye, but you would have a wisdom of the heart. And you would not only just see the acts of God, but you would know the ways of God and what He's doing. It's far beyond your little puddle of self to the ocean of others. You begin to see Him, know that He's wise, too wise to make a mistake. He's too powerful to fail. He loves you far too much to ever harm you. He's doing you good, and He's working in your life things that's going to produce in you in eternity, where it lasts forever and ever and ever. It's worth more than anything on this earth when you let go of it, and you let Him direct you, and you love Him and trust Him in the midst of it all. And you do like Jeremiah, you go back and say, God, forgive me for questioning your judgments. Forgive me for questioning how I've been treated, what's going on in my life. I didn't know, I didn't understand, now I see. And this week I believe there'll be a release in your life and you'll begin to enjoy life. And you'll be able to do what this song says. You'll begin to count it all joy when you fall into all the trials and the temptations of your life. You'll count it joy. Because you know God's doing something in you that's going to last forever and ever. And everybody say amen. Give him a good clap offering one more time. God bless you. Go in the name of the Lord. Kick that song off one more time.
What joy.
Turn around and hug somebody.